Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Home court, though, B-team. We'll get back to the calls here in just a second. 888-808-1019. Love hearing from you guys about this. Home court's not what it used to be. And Boomer's comparing the Knicks to the night. I don't see that myself.
I heard that, too. I wasn't feeling it quite as much.
This is the most talented Knicks team that I have ever seen in my life. Yeah. It's completely different than the 90s Knicks team. Now, yeah, the closeout defense, maybe that's what he's talking about, or the fact that it was a low-scoring game, but this is totally different. The Knicks have four or five guys that could light it up. In the 90s, it was one guy, feed the big fella. And if he's doubled and tripled or whatever, kick it back out and pray that somebody's going to be able to
Pray
do something.
Starks is on.
Yeah, exactly right. So, that was their biggest issue. They didn't have anybody else other than Ewing. But more about the home court, where back in the 90s, or even recently, more recently within the last 10, 15 years, home court used to be a bigger thing in the NBA specifically. And now, this year, it feels like it's non-existent. I don't care what the team is. Home court is not what it used to be.
It's the equalizer. It's a three-point shot. That's it. That's it. I mean, that's the answer. I don't need to church it up and extend it. That's the answer. It's that simple. So three-point shot.
So then why do we make a big deal about, okay, well, the Knicks won two on the road and come home? It feels great, and obviously you'd rather that than the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Celtics are knocking down the three of their 500 threes that they shoot and knocking them down, it doesn't matter where they're playing, they're going to win the game.
True. I think it's really done as a means to illuminate their tenacity. You know, I think what does it really truly represent?
But it used to be,
I don't know.
It used to be, if you lost a game at home, that was a big deal. If you won a game on the road, that was a huge deal. It was expected that you protected home court.
100%.
Hey, the Knicks have home court against the Bulls. This is our chance to actually win. Because if we didn't have home court, you weren't going to win.
Well, yeah, but think about this. We're also looking, specific to what you're talking about, like that time period, through a Knicks lens, or Knicks prism. And that Knicks lens was, 57, 59, 60 wins. Pat Riley, even though they didn't have a great supporting cast around Patrick was amazing. And the Knicks were on most everybody's list to get to the conference finals year after year after year. So when they were to lose a home game, which was very rare, especially early, whether it was like the Nets who they swept, or the Hornets, or some other team. I remember even in 99, they swept the Atlanta Hawks. Remember the Hawks played in the football stadium because their Phillips Arena, I think, was being built.
Okay.
Yeah. And
played in the Georgia Dome? I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was either the Georgia Dome. But yes, it was not their conventional NBA arena. And I think that we associate, at least specific to the Knicks, we associate home court dominance in the playoffs because every time the Knicks are good, they're usually really good. Outside of 2020, which was kind of in between, you go back to Patrick's teams, they were among the best teams in the NBA, so you're not supposed to lose ever, let alone at home.
But I also just look around the league, not that I'm watching every single night or every single playoff series here, but, the Cavs lost the first two at home. Celtics lost the first two
Thunder
at home.
Lost
Detroit
the first one.
At home was awful. Yeah, so I mean,
but that's
Minnesota.
The three-point shot, that's the answer.
Yeah, right.
Because think about this, when you ride when you take 30, now not everybody's taking it, nobody took as many as the Celtics this year, but when you take, even if it's 70% of what the Celtics jack up on a regular night, on a regular basis, you're going to go through hot streaks. I mean, the best three-point shooting teams in the NBA are around 38%. You're not at 43 or 50 or 42. You're south of 40. And when you're south of 40, you're south of 40 because there's stretches where you have a lot of misses. And when you're so reliant on that, you're going to have, whether it's the third quarter or the fourth, you're going to miss five or six in a row, and that opens the door for a team to kick it in and come back.
Remarkable how putrid Boston has been shooting three ball in the first two games. It is sweet. Beating them in their building, seeing their fans in total disbelief after being out to those big leads and thinking that they're going to squash the Knicks. The expectation was going to squash the Knicks going in. Then within game one, it was, we are squashing the Knicks, and then all of a sudden it's poof, what happened? How the hell did we lose that game? And then rinse, repeat, same exact formula in game two.
Mm-hmm.
Steal it from him again. Adam is in South Jersey. What's up, Adam?
Good morning, guys. First out, welcome back. We're all behind you.
Thank you.
Hope everything is working out. I know not working out well, but hope you and your family are getting by, man.
Appreciate
that's more important
that.
Than anything.
Thank you very much.
BT.
Yes.
I told you Monday, BT, before Sal, you're going to laugh. I needed you to be on the show to be the voice of positivity because VT was walking around like a loser in his office. And, you know, yes. And I told VT, not only are the Knicks going to win game one, but they're going to win the series in six, and Mikal Bridges is going to be the key to it for them to be able to do that. VT, was I wrong?
You nailed it, buddy. You keep going. Did you put any money behind that? Because the odds were sick if you did.
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to feel like maybe I should be in sort of a couple of shekels on the sweep. The odds are
not
too late.
No, not now.
But,
not now. You're going to
no,
ruin
no,
it.
No. Can't touch it now. That would be beforehand. I'm not touching any money now.
Yeah.
Staying right where I am. But you know what I see from this team? What I see from this team is Detroit taught them. Detroit might not be as talented as the Celtics, but, man, they are much more physical. They are much more bang around. I think they kind of pulled the Knicks back into the mud where they need to be a little bit. And at the end of games, it is showing. They are not afraid to get down points, man. They get a little bit hot. They're ready to go. And I'm loving what I'm watching here. You know, the best part about this run is right now up 2-0. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I expected them to win the second game because that I'd be a bold-faced liar if I was doing that.
There you go.
But this team is tough. They are built for this, you know what, and I'm looking forward to this. Go, Knicks. I love you guys, man.
Thank you, Adam.
John,
we love
Adam.
You as well. That is a great call.
Love
it. I'm looking forward to it as well, and it is comforting watching these games where last night it wasn't a house money game, but it was, if you lose, okay, well, whatever. It's a series. You nobody expects to win two. You already kind of did what you had to do winning the first one, and then you come home and see what happens. But now you win that one, and now even more so in game three, although the Knicks have everything right there in front of them, meaning that if they win game three, now I think you really put the stake through the heart of the champion. If you don't, you're letting them off the mat, and 2-1 is just far different than even 2-0. Forget about then 3-0. Game three is huge in this circumstance when you're talking about the significant underdog at home trying to keep the, you know, slay the dragon, keep them down.
Yeah.
You don't want to give them any life.
Well, there's two aspects of that, and I agree. You don't want to give them life where they actually win a game and now, all right, we're back in it, and they start feeling better about themselves, and that could change everything. But the more this series goes in terms of depth, the more Hauser's got a chance to get healthy, the more KP, I don't know what's going on with him.
It's almost like
a viral thing. Versus bacterial and viral, it's got to run its course, obviously. So,
but then is he out or what? Well,
I don't know.
To play, but he's not, he wouldn't admit to what's going on.
I think it's like it's just like a weakness thing where his stamina's compromised. Hey, I'm not trying to be rude, but that's not our problem. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Nobody
right.
felt sorry for us last year when we were banged up and we were losing a series that we should have won. So, I mean, I hope he's okay in the grand scheme of life. I'm not worried about him this series, quite frankly.
Exactly.
I don't care about Holiday's hamstring, although he looked pretty good last night. And Jaylen Brown looked bouncy as well. But, you know, again, Hauser, and I know I've said it a lot, I'm not saying he's going to, he's not Danny Ainge, but, I mean, geez, if you can do this quick and you can keep him on ice, and again, with the Porzingis thing, it would really behoove the Knicks to try to wrap this thing up as fast as possible.
Or even go up 3-0 and just put... Again, that doesn't mean it's over, but if you go up 3-0, now they got to beat you four straight, and you're really putting significant doubt in their minds to where the confidence coming in was like, oh, come on, we're supposed to win this series. Down 3-0 was like, oh, what happened?
Let me ask you something, though. The confidence, was that coming from the Celtic fans or the Celtic players?
Well,
I think the Celtic players are pretty humble.
Yeah, maybe humble, but I think that they were confident. Did you see Porzingis? There was an exchange before the series with a reporter that they were asking about what's it going to be like, you know, playing at the Mecca and playing at the Garden. You know, it's going to be a daunting thing. And he was just basically we understand that, but our place is tough too. Basically saying, like,
it's not wrong.
Understood, but it was a confidence that now I don't think is there after they just got beat up twice, you know, blowing those big leads and getting beat up in the fourth quarter on overtime by the Knicks in their building.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was even though there may be a healthy respect for the Knicks, I still think it was a big brother champion to less than type respect. Like, yeah, we respect them, but we're the champs. And now it's like, they're stunned a little bit. They got punched in the jaw. They got the uppercut.
Yeah.
They got to be stunned a little bit. What the hell's going on here? Dude, they're throwing up bricks. They're getting open looks. They're hitting the side of the glass.
I love it.
They are bricklaying right now, the Celtics. It is ugly with their shots.
You know who does annoy me with them? Their coach.
Mazzulla?
Yeah, I like his He is unique, and sometimes I find his exchanges pretty funny, but there's just something about him that rubs me the wrong way, too.
I'm glad you brought that up. He's been getting out-coached. The Knicks have been out-coaching the Celtics in these first two games as well. I know you took the L earlier on the hard or whatever thing. Are you ready to on
Tiv? No, it's not late on Tuesday here, buddy. Let's win the series. Let's get to win championship.
I'm with you. I mean, with you as far as that goes.
Well, how is he? Like, what has he done to out-coach him? Because but think about it. So, to me, there's several elements. And I'm not even saying that you're wrong, but let me lay this out. So, there's the layers of coach. Number one, are you, based on the film and the preparation, are you ready to play the game? From that perspective, you can make the very easy case that Tom Thibodeau has been out-coached because the Knicks have had massive deficits early. So, I would say check one of Mazzulla's column. Number two, once you fall behind, is there now the basketball retort, if you will, the ability to counteract what put you behind to come back? And I would say check in the box for Tom Thibodeau.
Right.
Push. Now, the clutchness, is that a coach thing or is that a player thing? Well, based on the way even the play that they drew up where Brunson missed it at the end of game one, the pass from Cat on the left side, well-designed.
Defense at the end.
Yeah, I'm getting there. The defensive plays, both game one and game two by Bridges. Now, Bridges is that guy defensively late, but he's also got to be deployed properly in the right spot. There's got to be communication.
Well, it's not just him, OG Anunoby.
That's what I'm saying, communication. Yeah, right. Like, you're hedging, and then there's a lot. It's not just like, oh, Tatum's got the ball, let me run at him and knock it out of his hand. You've got to keep an eye on a body on guys who are cutting. Like, there's a lot going on, and that is the IQ of the player. But there's also elements of preparation for the coach. I would say Tom Thibodeau's been very good.
The use of Mitchell Robinson, the offensive design and spacing feels much better. Now, I know it's a different defensive team, Boston versus Detroit, but Brunson not being a one-on-one ISO player the majority of the game, getting others involved. To me, how about Mazzulla, even the knock on him, just continuing to, I know that that's what they do, but dude, you're
the
up.
The threes.
Yeah, I mean, we know that's what you do. That's great. You're up 20. You should lay off the gas a little bit, especially if you just got burned by it in game one. You don't think it would have been smart to adjust in game two, saying, all right, we got a big lead. Let's maybe change it up a little bit and try to draw up something that could get us closer to the basket?
I'll give you an example, all right? And ironically, it's New York and Boston, right? So the thought about how the Celtics play, like their style, like when do you deviate from, should you deviate from it? I mean, and there could be a very easy case, and I get most of this, where I'm not, because I'm the champion, this is how we play, and we believe we're better than you, and we're not going to get away from what got us here. Okay, now I'm going to take the Yankees and the Red Sox, when Curt Schilling had the bloody sock, all right? Now, the Yankees were always a power-hitting outfit, especially back then, and they tried to just, you know, smash you to death, right? But they should have gotten away from their common practices, and they should have dropped down a few bunts that night to see if Curt Schilling can bounce off the mound and make plays. Now, that's deviating from their style, but I think when the opponent gives you a window to do it, and it could be favorable, if you don't do it, that's a tactical mistake. Now, last night, there were some more straight drives by the Celtics where they could have taken shots. One, I remember Tatum first half in the corner, little up fake. He could have shot it. Instead, he went to the rim, got an easy dunk. So I think they tweaked it a little bit. But no, dude, I'm not getting on the air and saying that Mazzulla is out coaching Tom Thibodeau this series. There's no way I'm going to say that.
Through two games, he is not.
Not yet. Nope.
AJ is in Eastchester. What's up, AJ?
What's going on, boys?
What's up, AJ?
Yo.
Oh, God, I can't tell you how excited I am, honestly. I'm like off the walls right now, excited. Yesterday and the game before, honestly, a roller coaster of emotions, really, with the way the games have been going. But, you know, to go down 20 in both games and come back and fight, it's just ridiculous, you know, crazy. And the roller coaster of emotions is just, you know, it's nuts. So I'm excited, but I don't want you to think that my excitement is like, you know, overly ignorant, exuberant,
right?
Because I know what's ahead of me. I know Boston is the best road team in the league, I think, right? I think statistically they had the best road record in the league. So I know what they could be. But that being said, I said this to you last week. I think it was just BT on the air. And BT, honestly, I'm glad you came out on the air today and took accountability for the way you've been acting for the past couple of months. Got to be honest.
You know? Where you've been acting.
Yeah, where you've been acting.
Listen, if the word Hartenstein came out of your mouth one more time, I would have
That's my guy. I still miss him.
But listen, I love you, BT. I love you.
Thanks,
BT did text. We should say, AJ, he did text last night. I saw it after the fact. little Mitchell Robinson and muscle emoji. So around on Mitch.
He's coming around, you know. And I remember, I forget what guest you had on that said that this might be the most talented, and Sal, you were on the train with me also, but that said this might be the most talented Knicks team in history, right? I think that was somebody
Maybe it was Ian Begley, because I feel like I don't know what other
You
NBA
said that
guys.
Early, from a talent perspective. You said that very early in the season.
Well, that I've seen.
That's what I'm saying. You said that.
I don't even think it's particularly close. Like, it's not saying anything.
I'm with you.
Even the recent team, like Melo's teams, come on. Not close. In the 90s, it was Patrick Ewing, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know about 69 or 73. I didn't live through that. But as far as my eyes can see, by far the most talented team, AJ, and thank you for the call. We appreciate checking in. By far the most talented team I've ever seen, just because they could score the basketball from many different places with many different options. That was never a thing.
Mm-hmm. No, it really wasn't. And even other teams that had a lot of talent, like, you know, we always think about Patrick Ewing. We think about the 90s Knicks, but Pat was drafted in 85. And Patrick, for the first couple of years, played with some stiffs. And then he played with some, you know, interesting, like Gerald Wilkins and Johnny Newman and Mark Jackson. But in terms of, like, length and strength and athleticism ratio and shooting ability, all kind of wrapped up into one, if you will, this is by far the most talented Knicks team, which is why I was so frustrated with them this season. It was never an unrealistic expectation or, like, an unchecked, like, crazy, unrealistic, like, plane that I was trying to get them to. I'm just sitting there saying, all right, when you said what you said about the talent, I'm like, I agree. They were really good last year. They've got a superstar. They got this. They got that. Why is it not adding up? And I still don't have that answer, but at this point, it doesn't matter. It's who they are now, not 2 months ago.
And to be fair, and we kind of had the dose of reality yesterday prior to game two, long way to go here. The expectations were championship, and there were a lot of celebrations after round one. Anointing Brunson, king of the town, all that. Like, round one, Patrick Ewing did that in his sleep, which is why I would push back a little bit on saying greatest Knick of all time.
Oh, by far.
We're
going to get back into that at some point. By far.
But to me, I'd still say Ewing. Anyway, here we are in the second round. Now they're two wins away against a team that many people didn't think they could beat, realistically beat. Not even beat. It was like, oh, they got to be at least competitive. Well, they've already checked the competitive box because they won two games on the road to start the series.
Yeah.
So now they need to finish the job. And then from there, now all of a sudden, all that talk about what's possible, now it's all real. Now you're down to the final. If they win two more games, now you're down to the final four here. That's where it starts becoming, hey, forget about the window. This is it. Now you're in the time. You've slayed the beast, and now you've got your opportunity to go out there and go win a championship. Like, that's what we're talking. We're two games away from that.
There's nothing manufactured about this enthusiasm right now. There's nothing that's not real about the way that you feel right now. Now, you got to keep going to your point. But also, I mean, think about, and I was largely leading the charge on this in terms of how I framed it, but specific to the Knicks head coach, I'm like, all right, let's go through, before the playoffs started, let's go through a couple of possible scenarios, right? The Knicks mop the Pistons. That's one. The Knicks lose to the Pistons. Nobody thought that would happen. The Knicks are engaged in a very tough, I said Knicks in six, very, very just a tougher than expected series. And then they get to round two, and then they get mopped. What would that mean for Tom Thibodeau?
Right.
Or they get to round two, and they have a competitive series. It was never about if they get to round two and beat the Celtics.
Right.
It was always framed less than that, no question.
And by the way, even with the excitement, which is legit, and the up two games to none, even within those first two games, there still are signs that this is not, you know, the Knicks are battling uphill here, playing with fire, down 20. You shouldn't be down 20 in both games. And they were. Now, they won both, fortunately, so you look at the end result. But if you're actually watching the games throughout like we are, and you're being realistic about it, there are still signs that would make you say, hey, the series is far from over here. Knicks have to be better. Dennis is in Mount Arlington. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, what's up, Sal and BT? How you doing?
How are you, Dennis?
Hey,
I'm doing okay. I miss you on the overnight still on my drive-in, Sal, but I love BT.
Sorry.
I love Big Mac. I got a question, and I think I know what you're going to say as an answer, but I want to kick it off, you guys. I think you can agree that we're on the verge of a pretty big upset, very big upset. Let's say the Knicks come and they wind up sweeping the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
The 61-21 Celtics, the world champion Celtics. Is it a bigger upset than the Red Sox coming back 3-0. The Boston New York thing. You got to look at it. You got to look at it. Not right now, but before the series started. Right now, oh, you know what? We can upset them. Mm. And we can win. We can sweep. But if you looked at it, before the series started, there was no way in heck that we were going to sweep these guys.
Well, but Dennis, the thing that's missing, and it's a fascinating question, and there's no right or wrong answer. I don't know. But the historical element of, you know, the curse and the Red Sox plight, that just magnified at times in millions. I don't think anything's comparing to that.
And the Yankees.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Yankees and their history and all that. To me, now, again, you're talking about not just going into the series. You're talking about coming back from down 0-3. I'm with you, BT. I don't think anything can beat that as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I wish something would so I could get it off the top of our resume. It's like the one thing on the resume I don't really like.
Yeah, I mean, that's Soto. No, but that's a bad one. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the other ones. And I think Evan had this discussion on their show, Evan and Tiki, with
the Giants and the Super Bowl, right? The Pats.
The first one to me, I was at that Super Bowl. I couldn't believe what my eyes saw. But that was a singular game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much easier to have an upset in a singular game than it is over the course of a best of seven. I don't think anything is as shocking as the down 0-3 Red Sox. Down 0-3 in general in baseball, especially back then, was a huge deal. It never happened. But Red Sox and all they've been through versus the Yankees and all they've been through, I don't think anything would come close to that.
Well, because it's so hard to do the baseball versus football versus basketball. I would say, let's just put, just for a moment, put the Knicks at the end of the finish line just to engage. Let's say they win the championship this year. Right? I'm just really pushing this forward. Like, in my mind, I would say, all right, how would that relate to some of the other, quote-unquote, surprise championships in New York sports lore? Well, number one is the 69 Mets. I mean, you got to start with that. Nobody saw that coming. You got to throw Eli in there. We just touched on that, beating the big, bad, amazing Patriots. And those are the first two. I mean, the Yankees in 96.
Oh, Jets Super Bowl III.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's not our lifetime, but
there were massive dogs going against Shrewless Colts, of course, but the Knicks won 50 games last year. They added an all-star center. They brought in a guy who's averaged 18, 19. Like, it's not like this is the little teeny tiny engine that could and somehow is squeezing out. Now, I don't know how they're winning this way, but the fact that they are winning might be stunning now because of how they played poorly against the best teams. But if you told me at the start of the season, hey, and without telling me how they got with a 20-point deficit, hey, the Knicks are going to be up 2-0 on the Celtics in the Eastern Conference semis, I'd say, all right.
I'm with you.
Be stunned.
This should not be that big of a shock that the Knicks are competing against the Celtics. We're learning about the Knicks this year. Now, a shock in that the way that the first two games have gone, sure, down big, come back, win both times on the road. And to the caller's point, if it were to be a sweep, forget about the championship, if they were to sweep the Celtics, yeah, I think that would be a shock. But remember, expectation coming into the year was a championship team. Also, in the regular season, for all the knocks against them, they had the fifth best record in the league. So it's not like they're coming in. I'll give you an example with the Knicks. The Knicks is the eighth seed against the Heat in, what was it, 98, whatever it was. It was 99, right? The shortest
against,
season year.
Against one versus eight, that was 99. Season.
Yeah, right, 99, the year they go to the finals. Yep. That eighth seed knocking out a one seed. Now, again, I know the Knicks, but still, I mean, that was more of an upset almost than this.
Yeah, but we all knew the Knicks weren't an eighth seed.
I understand.
They were, but they weren't.
But I understand that, but still, and then going on that run afterward, that game, and then going on the run and getting to the finals, I mean, still, to me, this should not be that shocking from where the Knicks were going into the season, where they've been the last few years, and also where they ended even in the regular season with their overall record.
I'd like to remind everybody what the NBA preseason odds were, just to validate what Sal and I just said here. The Boston Celtics had the shortest odds to win the championship at plus 300. The Knicks were number two. The Knicks were number two in front of Denver, in front of Minnesota, in front of OKC, in front of everybody, in front of the Cavs, plus 725. The Knicks had the second highest win-loss over total. And of all the other teams, let me see, of some of the top teams, now the Knicks were obviously under it. The Knicks over-under was 53.5. They won 51 times. Celtics went over. Denver went under. Minnesota went under. OKC over. Matter of fact, a lot of the better teams, under Mavericks, under Bucks, under Sixers. Where are the Cavs? I just want to see the Cavs before we keep moving. Cavs were Oh, yeah, Cavs were way over. They were 48.5. They won 64 times.
What was
times.
The Knicks total again?
The Knicks total was 53.5 coming in. They went 51-31. Right. So a little, you know, betting underachievement there. But again, just to reinforce the notion that supposed to kind of be in this position, they had the second shortest title odds.
Right. Connor is in Hicksville. What's up, Connor?
What's going on, BT? Hey, Sal, nice to meet you. I haven't met you yet.
What's up, Connor? How are you?
I'm good, man. Listen, I was talking to my buddy RMC this morning, and there's two things we think are going on with the Knicks right now. One, that Detroit series, we gave them a lot of hate. They're playing a lot tougher basketball. That series definitely made us a lot tougher, more resilient. Two, you know, I was on here a couple weeks ago saying that Bridges was the ugly stepchild, and I think he might be a listener of your show because he is absolutely showing out. That's great news. All right? You know, and listen, we're playing hungry dog runs faster. We're playing good underdog basketball right now. No expectations going into the series, and these guys are rising up. The offense looks a lot better, and we're closing out games, man. You know, it's not Brunson.
I don't know that the offense looks much better. I mean, they're shooting 42% every night overall.
No, but it is, to Connor's point, it is not just Brunson, the Brunson show, ISO Brunson. It's much more than that.
Yeah, but it wasn't Brunson.
Also, basketball is a game of runs, you know what I mean? Yeah. We're making the runs at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's no question. All I'm saying, Connor, is and thanks for the call, buddy. I don't even think it was the Brunson show during the regular season. Carl Anthony Towns averaged almost 25 points a game.
Right. I get it.
It did get stagnant at points in the Pistons series. I agree with that. But, yeah, I mean, the Knicks got a lot of weapons. I think it took them a while to learn how to use them. They're still vulnerable because Cat's not a great defender. Neither is Brunson. You saw a lot of times Brunson was in the post last night by design. They went right at him from the outset. Jrue Holiday in the post. And there's things that they can exploit with the Knicks here. But what is no longer debatable, which, quite frankly, I was wrong on, I didn't think this team had heart like this. I'm not saying that they were complete wusses, but I just did not think they had the ticker that you need to win a championship, and I think that they do.
Two things Connor touched on there. Number one, which I thought was odd, maybe the first call I've ever taken that said, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Well, you know what that means. Yeah, nice to meet you, Sal.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying I'd never taken a call like that, but we're technically not like meeting,
yeah,
I guess.
Gotcha.
But anyway, so that was number one that stood out. Number two that stood out was he was saying the Knicks are playing with no expectation, free and easy. Not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the expectations have changed. And I don't know if I fully believe that anyway, because there's always an expectation when a team comes into the year, like you just mentioned with the odds. But going up against the Celtics, yeah, all right, maybe many people expected the Celtics to win. Still, the expectation was, hey, you got to show us what you're made of here. This is a chance to really show where you're at as a franchise in comparison to the champion head-to-head once and for all. Let's see it. But now, up 2-0, returning home, there's a massive expectation. I think the expectation by most now is that the Knicks got to win this series.
Yes.
And that is something completely different, regardless of what side you were on going in. The expectation now definitively is they have to win this series.
If the Knicks don't win the series, then the things that I said about Tom Thibodeau and to a lesser extent Bridges and Cat could still very well much be in play to that point. You have to win it. You have to finish the job now.
Do you remember I told you I made a bet with one of my buddies over at SNY?
Yeah.
Actually, I've been taking him to the cleaners here. He's a Sixers fan, Sean Gelman.
Oh, so last too year, easy, Sal.
Yeah, oh, too.
The JV. Why lower your standards, buddy?
Last year, I just can't wait for the Knicks to finish this off. But anyway, last year, you know, we went head-to-head Knicks Sixers for a bottle of whatever choice.
Okay.
I ended up choosing Stateside, which is, you know, Stateside vodka, Surfside. I wanted, they had a special bottle that was made, I think in part with Spike. It had like Embiid's face on it.
Are you serious?
Called the year, because they were calling it the year. Last year was supposed to be the year that the Sixers finally got there.
Yeah, have okay. You opened it, or you just keep it there as a little token?
No, I'm keeping it until the Knicks.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And then but anyway, so I took that bottle from Sean. He was so adamant about the Celtics this year. I'm like, dude, the Sixers are out of it. What are you worried about? Celtics are going to crush the Knicks. You're getting too carried away with Brunson, blah, 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 blah. So I got the Knicks plus 2.5 games in the series.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's already over. No, so now
not already over.
My bet is already over. Knicks plus 2.5 games in the series, meaning that all they had to do is win two games.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
I got you.
The Celtics win four games. So I won that bet regardless of what happens with the Knicks.
Okay.
So now I got to pick a bottle. Now here's the real test. One of my other producers at SNY, Dave Mandel, huge Celtics fan.
Boy, these producers are degenerates, huh? They just can't get enough bets.
Dave is
maybe they got to do some more work.
So huge Celtics fan, wants the bet. And I said before the series, I go, okay, five bottles. Like, usually it's a bottle to a bottle, whatever. So I go, it's your five bottles to my one. That's the odds for the Knicks. I'm not betting you straight up.
No, like, there you go. Smart.
He didn't want to do it.
That's smart. I got it.
Today I get a text. If you still want to, and by the way, he was MIA yesterday. He didn't want to hear any text from the group. He was upset.
He's ducking.
Today, he's like, okay, I'm ready to discuss. If you want to still make the bet, since it's even money now, the Knicks and Celtics basically even money to win the series,
mm-hmm.
we do the bet. And? I don't know if I want to do that. That's why I'm asking you now advice. I don't want to.
Series is over. Do it. Knicks are going to win this series. Do it. Do it.
Oh!
I would even count
you're touching
it with,
the money.
I would even count it with some more. I'd throw a little something on it, something else on it.
Like?
A jersey, money, dinner, I don't know, something. Rails, something. Jack it up, dude. Celtics are done.
I'm not worried about, I don't want to jinx it. Like, I'm not necessarily.
I don't believe in that nonsense. I don't.
But if I didn't do it before the series, and I was going to, but I just had to do it at fair odds. I wasn't going to do it even money.
No, no, that's smart, actually. Yeah. That's really smart. I don't believe in, like, I remember when my son was real little, right? And I was always coaching him and for his one team, right? And Jen, this is when he's like 6'7", would film his at-bats.
Yeah.
And like, you know, back then, everybody basically gets on base every single time. So he was always on base, right, when you're that age. And like the few times the year that he didn't get on base, Jen's like, oh, I jinxed him by recording. I don't believe that. Right. I don't believe
in that. I don't really
that.
Either, but I don't want
to. Nothing to me.
I want no part of pushing the envelope. Also, here's the truth.
So you do believe in it, by the way. By you saying that, you like, I know you try to get separation, but you're not. You're saying you don't believe in it, actions are saying that you do subscribe to
that. I think in the middle of a series, I just don't want to mess with it. Yeah, so maybe in live time and real action, I'm not messing with it. The real reason why I don't want to do it is because in my gut, I'm not there yet.
Well, then don't do it. That's your answer then.
Right. But it's not that I'm afraid to lose, and it's not that I don't think the Knicks are going to win. It's just, like, definitively last year, I felt like they were going to beat the Sixers. Definitively this year, I felt like it was going to be much closer than people thought, meaning the Knicks would win at least two games in the series. So it was easy for me to make those bets. I'm not definitive, even at this point, that the Knicks are still going to win the series. So I'm not worried about losing the bottle, necessarily. I'm more worried about, A, I still don't trust it, and B, I don't want to have any bad karma touching any of that money like you just did right there.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you went all in touching that money.
Knicks. Yeah, Knicks are going to win.
But
Knicks, I'm not saying they're going to win the championship. Knicks are going to win this year. Knicks are going to be in the conference finals.
If they don't, you are.
People going to stone me in Times Square?
They might.
I mean, they already want to stone me because they don't think I gave the Knicks enough respect.
Yeah, not literally, but on social media, yes.
Yeah, I don't care about social. You know that. Although I probably won't log on for a couple days because it'll be tough. But, you know, to me, that's actually a good philosophy on your end. Like, how many times when you're betting and you're in a cold patch. Like, I know I would do this once in a while. Like, you almost bet just to get action. You're like,
I
don't even know who's going to win this game. Sunday night, I want to put a couple of hundred down so it's more enjoyable. All right, let me lay the 3 points with the Saints. Or let me lay the three with the Chargers. Whatever. They do something dopey. When every football instinct tells you, and from a betting perspective, I don't really have a feel for this game, so you shouldn't touch it.
Yeah.
So if you're saying that you don't like it, not that you don't think that the Knicks can win or will, You're not fully sure, then don't touch the bet.
And I would have taken the 5-1 because I believe in just those odds. It's good value. All right,
yeah,
even
good
if you
value.
Lose, I'd rather the value. Right now, to me, it's a sucker's bet to do it at even money now, even though they're up 2-0,
mm-hmm.
because I'd rather have done it 5. I felt okay about the chances going in. I feel the same way I did going in as I do now up 2-0. I still don't feel like it's definitively over. So I don't want to take it at even money. I'd rather the 5 bottles to the 1 bottle.
I understand. Hey, Hoff, can you do us a favor? Can you find out what the series prices are? Not so much Knicks and sweep, although I'd be curious, but Knicks and 5. I'm curious what you get back for that return Knicks and 5 at this point.
Is that what you would predict?
No, I'm just saying because when you were out, I did this. Me and Zoo looked it up, right? So before the start of the Celtics series, for the Knicks to sweep, I want to say...
Good God.
I know. I mean, no one's... Right. Well, you might.
Yeah.
They were plus 3,400. And I remember saying on the air, I'm like, all right, that's a waste of money. But for 100 bucks, you lay down 100, they somehow sweep, somebody gets hurt, you win 3,400 bucks, whatever. You could justify it. But the one that jumped out to me, because I didn't think that they would win a game 7 in Boston necessarily.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, if the Knicks could win, maybe Knicks in 6. That's like the one thing that I looked at from a realistic and then also a value perspective. And I believe then Knicks in 6, they were plus, I want to say about plus 9. Plus 900.
Right. That's a great value. Okay.
I want to see what it is now. That's the point.
So now, think about this. See, that's why I feel like the Knicks almost do need to sweep this series to really put them away. Because think of how it plays out. Let's say they don't and they lose game three. Now, all of a sudden, you're talking about best case scenario, you're going to be up 3-1 going back to Boston. Boston really going to lose all three of their home games to date? Then you could be looking at 3-2, pressure back on the Knicks, because if they don't win a game six, then you're going to have to go back there for game seven. That's why these series
are. But you've proven you can win there. So yeah, that seems much less daunting than it did before I don't think they win a game seven there.
But game one and games two, different than a game seven.
I think it'd be worse. Also, think about the pressure the Celtics would feel game seven in their crib.
Yeah, but not if they come back from down 0-2.
Yeah, I get that part. That would change the feels
so
a bit.
If the Knicks don't sweep, best case, now, if they don't sweep and it's 2-2 going back to Boston, we're screwed.
Well, don't say that.
I mean, come on.
Don't say
we're
screwed.
You got to be realistic. If they lose both games at home here, they're in trouble. They have to win one of these next two games. But even if, let's say they lose one, win one, up 3-1 going to Boston.
Yep.
The math is still easy for Boston to be able to justify winning the series. Okay, we're at home. We haven't won a home game yet. Win that. Then, okay, you have to go to the Garden and win a game six, sure, but Knicks haven't been great at home. It's just one game, and if you win that one game, now you're back in your building for game seven. So that's why these series are, to me, they're tough, and I think the Knicks' best chance to win this series might be, in fact, to sweep, or at the very least, go up 3-0.
Can you imagine? Listen, if I'm sitting there and I'm betting for a living, right?
Yeah.
No emotional stake with the Celtics or the Knicks. The play right now is to bet the Celtics, because the odds that you got
right
before the start of the series were so astronomically favorable to the Knicks, because nobody thought they could do it.
Right.
And you'd have to lay so much money and so much juice because everybody thought the Celtics would win. But now, especially if you say like Celtics and I'm not saying the Celtics will win in six, but if you find that bet, which is a little different than Celtics in seven, I think right now Hoff said their Knicks are plus 155 to win in five.
The Knicks are?
Yeah. What would the Celtics be in six? I mean, it'd have to be about 350, something like that. Right. You got to win four straight games.
You're right. The value now is with the Celtics. But even with that, they were talking about
I would never touch that.
They're like -105, whatever it is.
Correct.
Almost even money, which
I think they were -1,000. They were -1,000 to win the series.
At one point.
Meaning you got to lay $1,000 to win 100.
So now, if the Celtics were plus money, like I heard a caller, I think it was Boomer and Geo talking about it, and a caller was like, I would consider taking the Celtics at this point, because that is the right.
Is he a Knicks fan who called it?
Yeah, he said he's not going to do it, but if the Celtics were plus money, that is the better value play, and you get the emotional hedge going.
No, I can't emotional hedge here.
But the value play, you just said it, would have been the Celtics, because you're getting them. All right, yeah, they're down 0-2, but
correct,
they could still win this series very easily, and you're getting a value
that you couldn't get five days ago.
That's exactly right.